get into tea. It was a mellow experience. It's very zen-like. It's pretty cool. Anyway, I dig it. Thanks for tuning in. This is a news show. I'm DJ Marcus. So, let's get going. Oh, yeah, I guess I should tell you. Today's Tuesday. So, after me, there's the Dubious Goals Committee. And then there's an open slot. So, if you want to do something at 20, or after the DGC, then if you want to do something at 2000 hours on Tuesdays, that spot's open. But tomorrow, we got DJs up, which is super cool. And tonight at 00 UTC, so right when we switch over to midnight, the Resistance with Bronzy Beats on. So that's a fun show, too. So anyway, stick around for non-radio if you are into that. Let's go ahead and start where we always start.
World News.
Boop. Welcome. Oh, yeah. Well, here we go. First up, Germany's Merkel urges European border reform after terrorist attacks. So, German Chancellor Angela Merkel said it was urgently necessary for Europe to reform the open-border Schengen area in light of recent terrorist attacks. I want to mention the entry-exit system in the Schengen area, which should be ready in 2022, she said, after meeting with other European leaders on Tuesday. It's vitally necessary to know who comes in and who leaves the Schengen area. And that is the whole extent of what the Reuters reported on it a couple hours ago. Just so you guys know, the Schengen area is, well, if you're not from there, I guess, but it's an area of 26 European countries that have officially abolished all passport and all other types of border control at their mutual borders. The area mostly functions as a single jurisdiction for international travel. And so let's see. Who are the members? The current members are Austria, Belgium, Czech Republic, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Iceland, Italy, Latvia, Liechtenstein, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Malta, Netherlands, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Slovakia, Slovenia, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland. You notice the UK is not part of that. They're part of the non-EU part. But anyway, if you check out the Wikipedia article for Schengen area, that's Sierra Charlie Hotel Echo November, Golf Echo November, you can learn all about it. It's pretty neat. I thought it was cool anyway. It's kind of like how the US to Canada border used to be. All right, let's keep on going. We got so much news. Not enough time in the day. Also from Reuters, Russian peacekeepers are deployed to the Nagorno-Karabakh after a ceasefire deal. So Russian peacekeeping troops deployed to Nagorno-Karabakh. Okay, yeah, we'll just keep on rolling. Sorry, I wanted to be sure that my timer was running. Peacekeeping troops deployed to Nagorno-Karabakh on Tuesday under a deal that halted 6 weeks of fighting between Azeri and ethnic Armenian forces and froze territorial gains by Azerbaijan. The agreement ended military action and restored relative calm to the breakaway territory, internationally recognized as part of Azerbaijan but populated until recently fully controlled by Armenia. The territory that Azerbaijan will keep includes the mountains enclave, second city of Shusha, which Armenians call Shushi, and ethnic Armenian forces must give up control of a slew of other areas by December 1st. Russian President Vladimir Putin said the deal announced overnight and also signed by Moscow should pave the way for a lasting political settlement to fighting that killed thousands, displaced many more, and threatened to spark a wider war. Azerbaijan, which had been trying to regain land lost during a war in the 1990s, hailed the deal as victory. Azeris celebrated in the capital, Baku, sounding car and bus horns in delight and cheering and waving the Azeri national flag. So, hopefully this peace fire sticks around. With Russia backing it, I'd expect so. So this is pretty cool. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov said there had been no agreement on deploying any Turkish peacekeepers in the region, but the Turkish military will help staff a joint monitoring center with Russian forces. So, we'll see how that plays out, but it looks like there's going to be peace in the region for a while. And we'll keep around in Russia for a minute, because this was an interesting story. We're going to hit this button. Oh, okay. Keep on pressing buttons. All right, here we go. Coronavirus, Russia. We're staying in Russia. Russian resists lockdown and pins hope on a vaccine. So it's one of five facilities in Moscow's... Oh, the ticket booths at Krakatoa Ice Palace are shuttered. And we'll put that in calm, as always, because I can't say it right. Krilatskoye Ice Palace are shuttered, but the rink is full, not of speed skaters and hockey players, but rows of coronavirus patients. It's one of five facilities in Moscow transformed into giant temporary hospitals that are now swinging into action as the number of new COVID cases reaches daily record highs. The Kremlin described the rate of infection as worrying. Close to 21,000 new cases were announced across Russia on Tuesday, and admits the healthcare facilities in some regions are overloaded. It is resisting a full national lockdown, anxious to protect the economy, and optimistic that Russia's contender for a COVID-19 vaccine can help chart a way out of this crisis. But on Tuesday, Moscow's mayor announced new restrictions, including a 2,300-hour curfew on bars and restaurants, describing the coronavirus situation in the capital as unstable. The ice is gone for now, but the Ice Palace Hospital is equipped with the latest digital technology, and the chief doctor is insistently upbeat. And then there's a photo, which is interesting, because it's showing three patients, and none of them appear to be wearing shirts in this photo, but they are covered up, at least, and they're on, like, their phones. So it's kind of weird, because it looks like a party or something. Like kind of like a weird party. Greetings, X1. Thanks for tuning in. So this is important. It's a field hospital, so we'll see how Russia deals with it. If we go over here to Poland, Poland's looking into coronavirus risks at mink farms. Yeah, Poland's going to conduct coronavirus tests among its farmed minks and check whether farm workers and their families have been infected with COVID-19 following the findings of mutated virus among the animals in Denmark. Danish authorities, last week, you know, we talked about this, they eliminated 17 million mink, and one of the world's biggest, saying the new strain could move to humans and evade for future COVID vaccines. So, Poland's mink population is roughly half the size of the Danish one. I guess it was, since the Danish population is now zero. Do not divide by zero. So I'm just imagining in math class where they're like, say you're in Denmark and you had 17 million mink, and then you wanted to, and then you say, I'm going to get half of those. What happens? Oh, sorry, you get an F on your paper. There are no mink in this country now. Whatever. No one's going around. It's just bananas time. You know, that would be kind of neat if they went ahead and did that, X1. It's like, you know what? COVID-19 is so 2019. We've got a COVID-20 for you. COVID-20 taking over. We need a vaccine for that, too. Sorry, everyone. You gotta live in your house some more. All right. So, France24's got a story here for us. French teachers have formed a strike over COVID-19 risk in crowded classrooms. French teacher unions hold a nationwide day of protest and strike on Tuesday to call for stricter sanitary measures in schools as coronavirus infections continue to soar across the country. And we can see that in a few other countries too. There have been strikes by teachers protesting having to go back. Germany had one too. If we jump over to Afghanistan, the last thing 33-year-old Katera saw were the three men on a motorcycle who attacked her just after she left her job at a police station in Afghanistan's central Ghazni province, shooting at her and stabbing her with a knife in the eyes. And that name is Katera. Greetings, Ouroboros. The last thing the 30-year-old Katera saw were the three men on a motorcycle who attacked her just before she left her station. Yeah. They have a photo of the woman. Her eyes are closed, and she's wearing, here it is. It's an Afghan policewoman who's blinded after an attack. Waking up the hospital, everything was dark. I asked the doctors why I can't see anything. They told me that my eyes are still bandaged because of the wounds, but at that moment I knew my eyes had been taken from me, she said. She and local authorities blamed the attack on Taliban militants, who deny involvement, and say the assailants acted on a tip-off from her father, who vehemently opposed her working outside the home. For Katara, the attack caused not just the loss of her sight, but the loss of a dream she had battled to achieve, to have an independent career. She joined the Ghazni police as an officer in its crime branch a few months ago. I wish I had served in police at least a year. If this had happened to me after that, it would have been less painful. It happened too soon. I only got to work and live my dream for 3 months, she told Reuters. The attack on Katara, who only uses one name, is indicative of a growing trend, human rights activists say, of an intense and often violent backlash against women taking jobs, especially in public roles. In Katara's case, being a police officer could have also angered the Taliban. So, very painful story there. So let's jump into some, you know what? It's about that time.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
We're gonna play a song, and then we'll get into some cool kind of tech-related stories that I think are pretty rad. Not that. What are they called? Oh, it's kind of in line with the political news. This is Good Riddance. The song's called Lisa. It's off of the album For God and Country.
I used to be like her. We were one and the same. Life's older. I used to know her name. Out in the water, I feel her once again. I used to be like her. I used to call her friend. Friend. She was our lost child.
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Aw, yeah. And it is November 10th, just in case you weren't sure. It is a Tuesday for a little while longer. Let's go ahead here and jump into some
tech news.
These are technology-related stories, not specifically about technology, because that's something you can read elsewhere, you know? First up, Amazon's charged with abusing EU competition rules. The European Commission has charged Amazon with abusing its dominant position in online retail to gain an unfair advantage over competitors. It said Amazon had used data on third-party sellers that use its marketplace to boost sales of its own label goods. The commission also launched a fresh probe into the possible preferential treatment of sellers that use the tech giant's logistics services. Amazon rejected the charges, saying no firm cared more for small businesses, which is kind of typical of most large evil corporations. It faces a potential fine as high as 10% of its global turnover if it's found guilty of breaching competition law, which would be about £15 billion or $19 billion. In a statement, the EU Competition Commissioner Margreth Vestager said it was vital that platforms with market power did not distort competition. The European Commission has been investigating Amazon since July last year, following complaints from traders. It says the tech giant accesses sensitive data from small and medium-sized companies that use its platforms. There's sales figures, page visits, or shipping information. It then uses this to help with sales of its own label products or in choosing suppliers. In a press conference on Tuesday, Mr. Vestager said, "We do not take issue with the success of Amazon or its site." Amazon insisted that far from being anti-competitive, its private label products were good for customers and offered more choice. So we shall see how this all plays out. You can read more about that at thebbc.com. Over here on The Guardian, I thought this was news to me that I thought was kind of interesting. This comes to us from Ireland. Irish Catholic priests are being afflicted by performance anxiety during online masses because of bad reviews from mass-hopping worshipers. Yep, that's right. Churches have entered the 21st century. Parishioners are pressuring priests in Ireland to install webcams and to spice up their services to attract more viewers, according to the Association of Catholic Priests. COVID-19 restrictions have obliged churches to move services online, prompting some worshippers to rate priests as if they were television presenters, according to Friar Brendan Hoban, a co-founder of the group. "They're hopping from mass to mass, just sampling them," he said. "Priests are under huge performance pressure to perform. They're being marked out on their particular performances." Parishioners were comparing viewing figures as if it were a competition, said Hoban. "It's an indication if their church is as good as the church down the road. We have 47 hits. Another has 2,000 hits. What's wrong with you, Father? Why do we only have 47 hits?" They would say the priest next door has A, B, C, and D in terms of presentation skill. "The parishioner comments were made in person or over the phone," he said. Tim Hazelwood, a spokesman for the ACP, drew attention to the issue in a Zoom address to the group's annual general meeting on October 28th. "Some priests had stopped doing online services because of sense of judgment or assessment," he said. "The reality is a lot of us are not performers who take to this easily. A lot of the lads are very self-conscious. We are bald, old-looking, don't speak very well. Some of the mass hoppers delivered harsh verdicts," said Hazelwood, who is based in Cork. "I know some of the lads had been very hurt by them, and then you have this thing about how many followers have you. All that judgment stuff, you can intellectualize it away, but it hits at your gut, at your heart. It has been hurtful. Some of the lads have stopped going online because they couldn't take it." So although online performance anxiety might sound like a Father Ted plotline, love that show, updated for the COVID-19 era, Hoban said it was a serious problem for elderly, vulnerable men doing their best to cope with multiple pressures. The average age of priests in Ireland was 72, and most lived alone, and many had health problems, he said. So, it's very sad news. The ACP has set up a confidential helpline for priests struggling with isolation, but so far there have been few calls. This worries us. We know there is a need, but unfortunately they're not coming forward. So, very, very interesting story there. I hope they're all right. And this one is just fun. This is something I would expect in, like, The Onion, but I guess it's just because I forgot that this business existed. So here we go. Chassis provider Motive wins Bimbo Bakery's electric van order. What? Motive Power Systems provides chassis and software systems for medium-duty trucks and buses, and said on Tuesday it had received an order for more than 100 electric delivery trucks from Bimbo Bakeries USA, America's largest bakery. Wow. So what's funny here is just because Bimbo is often used as like a derogatory word in the U.S., maybe everywhere, but it's a slang term for a conventionally attractive, sexualized, naive, and unintelligent woman. Was used as early as the 1990s for an unintelligent, or in 1919 it meant an unintelligent or brutish man. And that kind of means like an over-sexualized woman who's like naive or kind of airheaded, ditzy. Not to be confused with himbos or other modern variations of the task. Anyway, I'm getting all over the place. I'm all sidetracked. Anyway, Bimbo Bread is pretty good. The deal comes after a successful pilot program at the U.S. unit of Mexico's Grupo Bimbo using Motive's delivery trucks, which are electrified versions of Ford Motor Company's F-59 truck, that's Foxtrot 5-9 truck, using batteries provided by BMW. The deal comes as delivery fleet operators face regulatory pressure in California and other states to buy electric vehicles, while coronavirus lockdowns have fueled a surge in package deliveries. So yeah, it's very interesting. In August, Amazon Inc. ordered 1,800 electric vans from Daimler's AG Mercedes-Benz and has ordered 100,000 vans from startup Rivian. In September, EV makers Aero Inc. and Karma Automotive LLC said they would produce more than 20,000 electric delivery vehicles through 2023. So pretty rad. All right. Well, we don't have a sound, so we'll just do this.
DJ Marcus.
Here we go. This is some silliness. Danger, Will Robinson. Don't try this at home. And this comes to us from The Guardian. A foul of the law. Man sentenced for cooking chicken in Yellowstone Hot Spring. Oh, men, excuse me. When it comes to unthinking human behavior in America's premier nature preserve, the retired Yellowstone historian Lee Whittlesey can reel off the examples. There's the tourist who took a selfie in front of a bison only to be tossed in the air by it. There's the drone that crashed into bubbling park waters. And then there's the latest story, which has driven him both to vexation and punning. Three tourists were charged and sentenced last week for preparing supper by boiling chickens in one of the park's natural hot springs. Not only did they run afoul of the law, Whittlesey says, they cooked their own goose by doing something a bit harebrained. Surprise me, said Whittlesey, a four-decade tour guide in the park and an author of the book Death in Yellowstone, Accidents and Foolhardiness in the First National Park. When I place them within the larger milieu of American tourists, it probably isn't that extraordinary, but because they were from the region, he said, they should have known better. A Yellowstone spokesperson, Morgan Warthen, said that the two Idahoans and a Utah man toted two cooking pots into a remote part of the park in August, where they dipped a pair of whole raw chickens held in a burlap sack into one of the Shoshone Geyser Basin's boiling geothermal features. One of the accused told a judge his intention was to make dinner. The three men, all in their 40s and 50s, were handed harsh sentences according to court documents. They received fines ranging between $540 and $1,250 and unsupervised probation. Two of the men spent a couple of days in jail. All three are banned from entering Yellowstone. So, what do you know? Pretty wild, right? No Tobes, I don't think. No one's from Nebraska. But that's a good reminder. The Dubious Goals Committee with Tobes coming up in just about 5 minutes. So, stick around for that. The weather may be nice enough for us to go out and look for dudes again. It's always a quest for dudes. And by dudes, we're talking about marmots. So, the men could not be reached for comment, but they are far from alone. Since its creation in 1872, the natural wonders and wildlife of Yellowstone have endured their share of abuse. Looting and defacing of park treasures was the reason the U.S. Army had to be called in and stationed there for decades. In the early years, when well-heeled tourists could only get there by railroad and tour the park via stagecoach, the geothermal features of which Old Faithful Geyser is the most famous have been utilized for a number of dubious purposes. Oh! It sounds like there may be some tobeness in there after all. Some tourists wash their clothes in the hot springs. Anglers at the West Thumb Geyser Cone, located along the shores of Yellowstone Lake, landed trout and cooked them in the scalding water. And thousands upon thousands of people toss coins into hot pools, treating them as wishing wells. Such thoughtless acts can clog the fragile subterranean vents feeding the dozens of prismatic-hued pools. Worthen shared statistics confirming that in 2020 there have been nearly three times more violations involving geothermal features than the recent annual average. To date, this year, 122 arrests have been logged involving tourists having to post bonds and make court appearances. So, yeah, it's very, very wild stuff there. very wild indeed. All right. Well, we've got 4 minutes. Let's run through the rest of these news stories. These are a bit longer, but I wanted to at least mention them so you could look them up in your headlines later if you wanted to. Welcome, Exile. Glad you can make it. So first up, the Worldwide Socialist website, the World Socialist website, this is the last tech story. A U.S. judge has blocked shutdown of TikTok scheduled for November 12th. On October 30th, a Pennsylvania district judge blocked the Trump administration from implementing restrictions that would have shut down the Chinese video sharing app TikTok in the U.S. as of November 12th, unless it sold to an American company. Judge Wendy Beadlestone of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Pennsylvania ruled in favor of a lawsuit filed by the TikTok users Douglas Marland, Cassette Renab, and Alec Chambers, who said the scheduled ban would cause them to lose the ability to engage with their millions of followers on TikTok and the related brand sponsorships. The three TikTok users each have more than 1 million followers on the short-form video-sharing social media platform. They argue that they would lose access to professional opportunities afforded by TikTok if the White House ban were to take effect on Thursday, and the judge agreed that they would face significant and unrecoverable economic loss caused by the shutdown. So, it's pretty wild. So, that's what's happening there. So, that's kind of cool. Cool if you use TikTok, like me. Alright, let's hurry up. This is common news. It was on the radio. U.S. Attorney General William Barr has allowed federal prosecutors to probe alleged irregularities in the presidential election, prompting a top Justice Department official to quit. The official, Richard Pilger, who would have overseen such investigations. Any such cases normally be remit of individual states, but Mr. Barr said this was not a hard and fast true rule. Donald Trump refuses to accept Joe Biden's projected victory and has made unsubstantiated fraud claims. The president's campaign is seeking an emergency injunction in Pennsylvania. The president-elect's projected win there on Saturday took him over the threshold of 270 electoral college votes needed to secure a victory nationwide. So, it's bananas. It's just... it is an amazing collapse of any semblance of sanity in Washington, D.C. Hopefully they don't burn the building down rather than let somebody else have it. Because, you know, that's something that could happen. This is really cool. These are a couple pieces I really want to be sure and get out. One, truthout.org has an interview with Noam Chomsky, and it's a really good read. It's a little long, but it's a good read at truthout.org. And ProPublica has an article about... plain language, and this is cool. I'll go through a little bit of it, but ProPublica is experimenting with ultra accessible plain language and stories about people with disabilities. So what this is plain language is a type of text that uses common words, short sentences, and clear structure to make information more accessible to those with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And so that's like the example is a longer passage, but the gist of it is like, the original line would be, there's a lot of talk in journalism today about bias, with the assumption being that reporters who believe something can't write about it fairly. And the translated version is, some people worry that reporters have bias. They think reporters shouldn't write about things they care about. They worry the reporters won't be fair. And that's so cool. I just think that that's really rad because it makes it much more accessible, and accessibility is so important. That's it. NeimanLab.org if you want to learn more about that. Thanks for tuning in. Do these goals committees coming up? Thanks.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.